God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Thank you for tuning in. This is Pastor Larry. I have in front of me an article by a medical doctor, W. Scott McGill. He served with the United States Army Medical Corps and with the U.S. Marine Corps. He was an OBGYN in Springfield, Missouri for 21 years. The article I am reading is in WorldNet Daily, dated May 5, 2020. According to the article, Dr. Fauci paid $3.7 million to the Wuhan laboratory. Dr. McGill says Dr. Fauci is responsible for the death of thousands of Americans by leading the opposition to a drug regimen that is at least 91% effective in curing the coronavirus. Dr. Fauci is also connected with Gilead Bioscience, which developed remdesivir. China, interestingly, owns the patent on remdesivir. Another fact that we can't ignore. One of the owners of Gilead Bioscience is none other than the billionaire George Soros, who has made it very clear that he hates President Trump and all the people who support President Trump, like you and me. And then I think of the growing number of medical professionals and medical doctors who are coming up with good objections to the across-the-board lockdowns and mass quarantines where even healthy people are being quarantined. I think there is something very wrong with this emerging picture. And I also think there's something very wrong with the state and local governments that are harassing and even taking legal action against Christian organizations and churches. Jesus said, "That which is hidden will one day be shouted from the rooftops." I am listening. The situation in the United States is very different from anything most of us have ever experienced. And I'm sure during World War I and World War II, things were very different. But in the last few years, even right after the initial 9/11 attack, our country was not as heavily impacted as it is today. The coronavirus pandemic has been earth-shaking in many, many ways. And there is something else that makes the coronavirus pandemic noteworthy, and that is the way in which it is being used. It is a crisis, and crises are opportunities. When people are afraid, they will do just about anything. They will surrender every right. They will make just about any promise just to stay alive. Our guest is Pastor Carl Gallups. He was on recently talking about his new book, Masquerade. That book has become highly sought after. It's a tremendous book, a great book. And we have the author right on the phone, Carl Gallups. Now, he's one of the featured speakers in our Columbus, Ohio conference, September the 24th through the 26th. And I can guarantee you will be richly blessed if you come to hear Carl Gallups in person. But right now, Brother Carl, thank you so much for being with us.
Pastor Larry, listen, thank you. It's my honor. And thank you for all of your gracious and kind words you just spoke over me. I'm glad my wife didn't hear it. She'd be rolling her eyes.
Right. Well, you ought to tell her there's some people who think you're pretty good.
No, my wife and I have been married since we were 18, and we dearly love each other. She's a great encourager and supporter, and I just said that to be funny. But thank you. Your words are very gracious.
Well, Carl, as we get into our show, why are governments the world over rendering hundreds of millions of their citizens jobless, impoverishing at least a billion people, endangering the family life of millions? I mean, straining marriages, increasing spousal and child abuse. I've heard some of the things that are going on, bankrupting vast numbers of business owners, workers living paycheck to paycheck, and increasing the rate of suicides in America. Why are governments doing that? Is that really a good thing, or is there some other agenda that's operative here?
Yeah. Brother, listen, there is a political answer to your question, and there is a deeply biblical spiritual answer to your question, and the two do not contradict each other. They fit hand in glove. They go together. Politics and the spirit realm go hand in hand. Paul said that in Ephesians 6. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. And when he said our battle, he didn't mean necessarily our individual battle of struggling whether we should eat one bowl of ice cream or two bowls of ice cream. Well, I ate two bowls. Praise God. Please pray for me. I'm under spiritual warfare. No, that's not what Paul was talking about. He was talking about global affairs, political affairs, geopolitical affairs that impact our life, the church, the spread of the gospel. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. And what he meant by that is, the context is, even though you see it in the flesh and blood, even though we live in the flesh and blood dimension, even though we live in this physical dimension, there is behind the veil, like the Wizard of Oz, right behind the curtain, there is a demonic realm, a dark realm, and dark places of wickedness that are pulling the buttons and pushing the knobs and pulling the levers of manipulation and influence, godless, demonic. And Jesus told us, look, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He is the god, little g, of this age right now. But there is a kingdom that's coming. Jesus Christ will return. Satan will be defeated. This whole Antichrist spirit will be crushed. But in the meantime, brother, we're living in the most prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus. I've been screaming this for 10 years. And now people, I finally stand up in front of people and I say, now do you believe me? And people are saying, okay, we get it. Well, why do they get it? Because what has happened, yes, it's political and it's spiritual and it is deeply prophetic. We are the first generation in the history of the world. Listen, there have always been pandemics and diseases and viruses and earthquakes and tornadoes and volcanoes and floods and fires, and the whole creation groans in expectation of the return of the Lord. Satan is thrown to the earth. He's filled with rage because he knows his time is short. And so we know all of that from the scripture. We know it from history. The difference is we're the first generation to live 72 years on the other side of the return of Israel. That's a huge clock ticker right there. The other one is we're the first generation to live in this information age of instantaneous communication information. Well, what we have just seen unfold before us, we are living in the book of Revelation now, brother. Now, I'm not setting dates. I'm not pulling out charts and graphs, and I'm not talking about pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I'm talking about what the Bible says and what we are living in. Here's what I mean. We went to bed one night. We woke up the next morning, literally almost overnight, and the whole world changed because the whole world, the government powers, the powers that be, were communicating with each other. Government powers and government agencies like World Health Organization and CDC and the United Nations and then all these major players, China, the United States, Russia, North Korea, Europe, all of a sudden we woke up and in lockstep they were almost all doing and saying the same things. They were seizing control of their countries. They were seizing control of the rights of their citizens. And, of course, some of those countries are communists. They don't have many rights. But America, constitutional republic with a Bill of Rights, was snatched out from underneath us overnight in the name of peace and safety. Give us peace. Give us safety. Help us. We're scared to death. You're scaring us. Well, yeah, this global spirit of fear and panic swept the world overnight. And Jesus said, God says in his word, Paul said to Timothy, the Lord God has not given you this spirit of fear, but rather we have been given the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Well, he's speaking, who gives us, who is the spirit that gives us power and sound mind and love? It's the Holy Spirit. Then what is this spirit that brings panic and fear? It's an ungodly spirit. It's a demonic spirit. It's a satanic spirit. What is its purpose? It's being used by Satan to bring the world under his grips so that he can usher in what the Bible says some generation is going to see it. And brother, we're close. I'm not saying we're the one, but there's going to be an Antichrist spirit where the whole world cries out, save us, save us, save us. Jesus said in those days men will be dying from heart attacks all over the planet because of fear that will grip them. Even the very elect would be deceived in those days. Truth would be thrown to the ground. That is, if they were able to be deceived. But it says truth will be thrown to the ground. In other words, fake news, fake information, fake need for fear and panic. It'll sweep even the churches, even the hearts of believers. Well, brother, we're getting a taste of that now. And we're the first generation where the whole globe caved into this. And here's the other thing, Larry. Think about it. This is the first time since the birth of the church that on Resurrection Sunday morning you could not find a church to go to. Now, people say, well, we went to church online. Okay, that's not the church. Okay, it's a good substitute if you have to do it. I'm with you on that. But to go to church, wherever two or three are gathered together, there I am, and lifting up praises, worshiping together, ministering together, planning ministry and missions together, gathering around the Word together, you know, all of these things. This is the function of the body of Christ, and this is the first time since the church is born that the whole globe in lockstep. Now, there were a few exceptions, scattered exceptions. My church has stayed open the whole time. We'll talk about that later. But very few churches all over the globe on Resurrection Sunday morning. Well, why is that prophetic? Well, number one, just stating it like that, you can see the prophetic of it. But number two, it's because the resurrection is the reason. It is the death nail of Satan. We are living in the last days, brother, without setting dates. Satan knows his time's getting short. He is filled with rage. He basically, through death and disease, panic and fear, he shut the church down on Resurrection Sunday. And it still hasn't opened across the globe. So here we are, brother, living under an antichrist spirit that any believer of the Word, anybody with knowledge of the Word, if they've missed this, well, my heart goes out for you. But please don't miss it any longer. We are living in prophetic times. Now, this is a virus. The virus will die. It's serious. There's certain demographics that certainly are more susceptible and can die from it. Tens of thousands have died. Of course, tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands have died from the flu. Tens and tens and tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands die from heart disease and cancer. Death is a part of the world we live in. So we take precautions in every situation. I do not fault or blame our United States government officials for some of the calls they made early on in the panic, because they were getting false information too, scary information. They were trying, I think most of them, to take care of the country. A bunch of the evil ones saw it as an opportunity to control us and to manipulate us and to do all kinds of outlandish communist-style things, and they've done it with barely a whimper from the pulpit, barely a whimper from the citizens. They're just now starting to rise up and make their feelings known about it. But this has never happened before, Larry, ever. Nothing like this. Never has our nation been shut completely down and law-abiding citizens ordered to their homes under penalty of law while those same governors emptied their prisons. They didn't empty them, excuse me. They released people from their prisons. This is insanity. So there are prophetic elements. The answer to your question is, it is political. People are feeling their power. At first, some of these decisions were made with good faith, but then the evil got involved, as it always does. But behind it all are the deep, dark powers of Satan. The Bible tells us that. Ephesians 6 tells us that. The book of Revelation tells us that. 1 and 2 Thessalonians tell us that. I mean, the Word of God is clear what's going on, and God's people had better wake up.
Well, I think the fact that the abortion mills stayed open, they had a lot of people inside buildings, you know, like in North Carolina, David, can't think of his last name now, but was protesting. It was just a great show of strength. Then liquor stores were open, but churches had to close. Well, now, your church was open, so did you have, were you seated 6 feet apart or just on pews? How did it work?
Here's how we did it. For the first couple of weeks, until we were vetting all the information we could, we were walking by faith, yes, but at the same time using the wisdom God has given us, okay? So there, and that balances all through the scriptures, okay? So we were looking at stats. We were looking at the area we live in. We live in Northwest Florida. We don't live in Miami. We don't live in New York. We don't live in Atlanta. We don't live in Houston and Dallas. We live in Northwest Florida. Our infection rate is very low over here. Our death rate has been like 0.001% chance of dying in our area from this, according to the statistics. We're very low rate. Now there is some infection in our area. There have been a handful of deaths in our area, yes. And I know I'm talking statistics. I don't want to leave out the emotional factor, the human factor, that these statistics represent people and families and real death and disease. I have never called this a fake disease or a fake situation. It is real. It's like the flu. It's worse than the flu, probably, but it's like the flu in that it's an upper respiratory virus. This is brand new to us. We were afraid it could be devastating. Their official numbers early on were we were going to lose 250,000 people. Well, now it looks like it's going to be basically another bad flu season tacked on top of the already bad flu season we had. H1N1 and the flu, that's swine flu, has killed almost 60,000 people in the United States already. Now we've got some 40,000 on top of it with another flu it's not flu, but another upper respiratory disease, COVID-19, that's killed 40, 50,000. At least that's what the numbers are saying. Now, there's a lot of new evidence that those numbers have been padded on purpose by evil people. But be that as it may, several 10,000 people have died from it. I mean, obviously. All right. Now, so the bottom line is we assessed all of that. We saw we were in a low area. We understood Hebrews 10, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together like some are in the habit of doing, and especially as you see the day approaching. That's what it says, especially as things get bad, especially as disease and epidemics are rampant, especially as the earth is groaning, especially as persecution increases across the planet. Do not give up meeting together. Now, there are all kinds of creative ways to meet, but we're blessed. We live in the Bible Belt and a low infection rate, so I kept the church open. Churches all around us closed down without even being asked or told, no laws. There are no laws against us being open. And I do not judge the pastors or the churches. I've made this clear. They have to make their own decisions. I truly do not judge them. But we just, our decision was to leave our doors open. And here's what we did. For the first couple of weeks, we just kept all of our programming in place. But then, after the fear factor was going through the roof, and after some of the death rates in the hot spots, New York, Miami, these places were starting to rise, we said, look, let's do our part of just kind of calming people down. So we suspended everything except for Sunday morning worship. Now, we're blessed. We have a 700-seat auditorium. On a good Sunday and normal days, we can put, like 500-600 people in there. But now, we've got about 150, 200 people that come. But we got room now, spread everybody out. We encourage people. We got some people, one person sit on one pew, you know. So it's pretty cool. And then we stream our services live to the world. And we stream our services. We've got 5 buildings on our campus. So we stream our services into 2 other buildings, a big choir suite and a big fellowship hall. So we got people over there, and we got people spread out in the sanctuary, and we stream to the world. And all we do is that Sunday morning. And I mean, we worship, and people are getting saved. People are coming back to the Lord. People all over the world are watching us. Our church has increased from 500 or 600 people to well over 10,000 are watching us live every Sunday morning now.
Let me jump in. This is too good to lose. We are out of time, but we're going to have you back on our next program. Friends, you don't want to miss this. I mean, Carl is all wound up, and here's a man who's filled with the Spirit, speaking the truth, being bold, and really telling you and me what's going on, and I agree with him 100%. Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get their special offer.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the very popular book, Masquerade, Prepare for the Greatest Con Job in History. You can have a copy for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. If you'd rather write to us and place your order, or if you have a Bible question or a prayer request, just send that letter to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order any of our materials on our website at swrc.com. A great companion book is the best-selling book by Tom Horn titled Shadowland, Exposing the Deep State Actors at War with Christianity. You can have a copy of this eye-opening book for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both books, Masquerade and Shadowland, for a gift of $30. This is a $40 value for $30. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Well, Marvin, let's talk about homofascism.
Pastor Larry, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a good subject. Many people don't realize that there are some homosexuals who are fascist. You might call them fascist bullies. Some of them are even in government and are lawmakers.
Well, here's a report from Todd Starnes titled, Gay Lawmakers Demand Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse Leave New York City and Never Return. So let me read the opening of the report. Quote, It is time for Samaritan's Purse to leave New York City, said New York City Council Speaker Corey Johnson. This group, led by the notoriously bigoted, hate-spewing Franklin Graham, came at a time when our city couldn't, in good conscience, turn away any offer of help. That time has passed. Johnson, a notorious anti-Christian bigot, said the ministry's continued presence in New York City is an affront to our values of inclusion and is painful for all New Yorkers who care deeply about the LGBTQ community, close quotes.
Corey Johnson is an anti-Christian bigot. He talks about bigotry. He should look in the mirror. And there are others, too. New York State Senator Brad Hoyleman said, Franklin Graham should pack up his medical tents and leave New York City for good. It was bad enough that Donald Trump's failure to prepare the nation for this pandemic forced New York to accept charity from a bigot like Franklin Graham. Inviting Graham to stay on longer is an insult to the LGBTQ New Yorkers and sends the dangerous message that homophobia and transphobia are acceptable.
Franklin Graham, like millions of Americans, believes that the homosexual lifestyle and the trans movement is sinful, wrong, and harmful. However, neither Franklin Graham nor the doctors and medical personnel serving Samaritan's Purse ever check to see if a patient was of a certain persuasion before offering service. Agreeing with biblical morality is never a prerequisite for care. Everyone is welcome. No questions were asked about religion, theology, or beliefs. Americans should be deeply troubled that such hate and intolerance exist in chambers of government. But it's not all that surprising, especially in the aftermath of Mayor Bill de Blasio's threat to round up Jews who disobey social distancing rules.
Homofascists live on threats and intimidation. They also issued an ominous warning to Mount Sinai Hospital. Quote, Mount Sinai must sever its relationship with Samaritan's Purse. Johnson wrote on Twitter, On behalf of the LGBTQ community I represent, I demand they end their association with Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse or risk further reputational harm with LGBTQ New Yorkers and the wider public, Hoyleman said. It appears that not only is New York City's government infested with anti-Semitism, but they are also infected with a virulent strain of homofascist anti-Christian bigotry.
Well, how could anyone ever forget the disgraceful riot at the Hamilton Square Baptist Church in San Francisco?
Maybe you should refresh our listeners' memory about that disgraceful riot.
Well, on September the 19th, 1993, the Hamilton Square Baptist Church in San Francisco, California, was attacked and terrorized by an angry group of homosexuals and lesbians. They vandalized church property, assaulted church members, terrorized the church congregation, screamed profanity, threw rocks, harassed and frightened little children, and shouted, We want your children! Give us your children! The day of the riot, Reverend Lewis Sheldon of the Traditional Values Coalition was a guest speaker. The church received telephone calls prior to Reverend Sheldon's arrival demanding that he should not come. The callers threatened to disrupt the service. They represented a trend toward increasing militancy among homosexual activists. These are not nice people, Marvin, and they don't mind resorting to terrorism, the destruction of property, and harassment. Notice how they demand this and they demand that. It sounds like a little child having a temper tantrum. These homosexuals who are activists need to grow up and be decent, and good, God-fearing, honest people need to stand strong and say, no, we don't want this nonsense in our country. On April 5th, police served Pastor Kevin Wilson, pastor of Lighthouse Fellowship Church on Chincoteague Island, a summons despite the fact that the 16 people in attendance at a church that holds 293 people were observing social distancing guidelines. According to Fox News, state officials said Wilson and the church violated the Virginia Constitution by breaking state-imposed social distancing restrictions intended to stop the spread of coronavirus.
Matt Staver of Liberty Council, representing the pastor, accused Governor Northam of discriminating against the church and violating the First Amendment. The Department of Justice agreed. The DOJ said that, quote, the Commonwealth of Virginia has not yet responded to the plaintiff's allegations that various comparable secular gatherings are permitted. It becomes the Commonwealth's burden to demonstrate that it has compelling reasons to treat the plaintiff differently than similar non-religious businesses, and that it has pursued its objective through the least restrictive means.
Well, Marvin, I'm not surprised that Governor Northam is biased against churches. I mean, let's face it. He's radically pro-abortion, and Christians have called him out on his bloodlust for the unborn. Governor Northam has also made his distaste for the Second Amendment most obvious. The DOJ made the right decision. Such disparate treatment of the church violates the Free Exercise Clause, and the orders may not be enforced against the church. The media focuses on the wars, the riots, and protests, but don't forget that God is still bringing people to the liberty and grace of salvation in Jesus Christ. You know, friends, we don't hear too much about revivals that are taking place right now in different parts of the world. We don't hear about the churches that are being planted, but God is working in a mighty way. God is pouring forth His Spirit, so please pray for revival all over the world, and especially in our country. Remember 2 Chronicles 7:14, those are the conditions for revival. How do you measure up?
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the very popular book, Masquerade, Prepare for the Greatest Con Job in History. You can have a copy for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States, and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. If you'd rather write to us and place your order, or if you have a Bible question or a prayer request, just send that letter to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order any of our materials on our website at swrc.com. A Great Companion book is the best-selling book by Tom Horn titled Shadowland, Exposing the Deep State Actors at War with Christianity. You can have a copy of this eye-opening book for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both books, Masquerade and Shadowland, for a gift of $30. This is a $40 value for $30. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. And the website is swrc.com. Thank you for tuning in today. Tune in tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Carl Gallups wrap up this series on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Ministries.